to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. May you see.
My little clicker here. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I know we have some out with vacation and summer activities, but it's great that you're with us and that we've been able to worship the Lord together this Sunday morning, and we'll be able to do so again tonight. 40 years in the church. The 40 number is significant in the Bible. When I was studying that, I was looking in. Let me read you some of the significant things about that number. You know, numbers in the Bible have significance. For example, 7 and various numbers. But 40 is one that's used quite a bit too. It rained 40 days and 40 nights for Noah when he was in the ark. Isaac was 40 years old when he took his wife Rebekah. Esau took a wife at 40. Moses, in his life, can be divided into three 40-year sections. His first 40 years when he was in Egypt. The next 40 years when he was out in the wilderness after he had fled Egypt. And then finally when God calls him at the age of 80 to go back and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they spend 40 years wandering. So Moses lived 120 years, three 40-year sections. The people of Israel, of course, are going to eat the manna and are going to live in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says in Numbers 14... that the people of Israel are going to be punished for 40 years. 1 year for every day. For every day they had to bear the iniquity. You see, the spies had spied out the land 40 days. And they spied out the land 40 days and they came back and said that it's a huge, strong people that we cannot overcome. And because of that, God made them spend 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 40 is also significant as you move through the Bible in that Caleb was 40 years old when he was sent out to be a spy. For that 40 years of wandering, the children of Israel's clothes did not wear out and their sandals did not wear out on their feet. Eli judged the nation of Israel for 40 years. Saul reigned for 40 years. David reigned for 40 years. Solomon reigned for 40 years. Saul, David, and Solomon all reigned 40 years. Joash reigned for 40 years. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness before starting his ministry, and he lived 40 days on earth after his resurrection. 40 is a significant number in the Bible. Now, Ashley put up a picture on the PowerPoint of some unflattering pictures or some unique pictures of me. So some of you may know kind of the background of this. But this week, Lord willing, I turn 40. I turn 40. And so really the purpose of this sermon, and so everybody will know it's going to be my birthday and tell me happy birthday, right? No, but it's not the purpose. You don't need to feel obligated to give me any gifts or anything like that. My address is 1751 Cardinal Road. But when I was thinking about this birthday and I was thinking about the significance of, you know, some of you, it's according to your perspective, whether you think 40 is young or you think 40 is old, right? But it is a kind of, as we think about that midlife point, I thought I've spent 40 years in the church. And I was joking about the purpose of the sermon. Really, the purpose or the hope of the sermon, though I'm going to share some things about my life, and hopefully for some of you that are new to Seven Oaks that don't know me very well, can learn more about my story. The main purpose is I want us to see, and I want to offer some reflections upon the importance of the church. And why I believe that the church is still so relevant and important in our world today, and how it should be in all of our lives. And how that as we live our life, whether it be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age, whatever age we're at, that the church should play a vital role or function in our lives. That's what Mama said. Mom, when did I first go to church? She said, well, you were born on Tuesday, and I think you went the next Sunday. The next Sunday. So I have been in the church 40 years. And I want to share some thoughts about growing up in the church and what it's like. And I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not and do not intend to be bragging or saying that all of my 40 years have been wonderful and righteous, that I've made great decisions all along the way. I certainly don't want to be accused of that or be thought of doing that. I'm a sinner and I've sinned through these 40 years and will continue to sin. But I want to make some observations upon and share my story about the importance of the church despite our failures and our sin. First of all, when I think about the church, I think about growing up in the church. Now, that's not Austin with sunglasses. I think about growing up in the church, and I want to emphasize two key things that I'm thankful for and grateful for. The first is teaching. The first is teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verses 14 and 16, but as you continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing that whom you have learned them, and how from a childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness' sake. When I think about my childhood and I think about growing up, I think about the relationship I have with the church, I'm thankful that the church taught me about God. Sadly, there's a lot of children growing up who do not have a relationship with the church. And they're not being taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise for salvation. I grew up at the Sanford Church of Christ, which is a church that has its building right out in the middle of a cotton field or bean field there in rural Steele, Missouri. Now, Steele is as rural as you can get, so if you're in rural Steele, Missouri, you're really rural. It was about 5 or 6 miles outside of Steele, and it's just a country church out there, but I'm so grateful for that church and growing up in it. When I think about growing up in the church and being taught in the church, I think about Bible classes. And I want to emphasize that one of the great ministries of the church is our Bible school program. And teachers, you may not realize what impact you can have and the importance you play for the church in impacting and teaching and training our young people. And our young people need to take it serious, the instruction they receive. And you may not remember exactly this point from this lesson, but you're going to be instilled with principles that will shape you throughout all your life. And the preachers and the sermons, I often, in my preaching over the last 19 years of preaching, I often think, am I emphasizing and am I preaching things in a way so that the young people who are hearing me are going to remember them the way I remember some of the sermons I heard growing up? And some of the principles, you know, I cannot tell you one sermon I heard growing up. Can't tell you one exact sermon I heard. Can't tell you a title. Can't tell you a 3-point outline from any of those hundreds of sermons. But I learned so many valuable lessons from those sermons. And I pray that as a preacher, that I'm preaching the whole counsel of God in a way that young people here will grow up with the knowledge of God's Word. So I'm thankful for the teaching that the church gives. And we, whether it's Vacation Bible School, I got to be the rooster one time in the Vacation Bible School. And I think about some of the memories there and the song, B-I-B-L-E. That's what it's about, is learning the value of the Word of God. I think about training. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which is in you. We had last leaders program, and I'm thankful for what it did for my life and for many of the other young people, and I'm thankful for what it's doing at the church here at Seven Oaks. Now think about the training that the church can give, whether it's training in benevolence, training in watching the older brethren and how they act, how they treat one another. But growing up in the church is such an important part of shaping who you are, because you learn, number one, where you came from, the expectations about where you're going to be going, and your accountability to God. And so parents, let me emphasize to you that it is so important for you to understand that you're giving your children a gift that will bless them throughout all their life of growing up in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be a wholesale guarantee that they're going to always be faithful. But it is doing your part in giving them a solid foundation to build their faith upon, to train them and teach them about God and about how to use their gifts, their talents that they've been given. Growing up in the church, I'm thankful. You see, we didn't have an organized youth group, but there was an expectation to have a certain type of behavior. I learned that the church cares. When you grow up in the church, you participate in church activities and you see the church. Brethren, we need to remember that our young people are seeing us. And they see how we react when someone dies, when we provide a meal, or when we do things for them, when we pray. They see our concern, they see our care. They see how we handle it. I remember growing up in the church when there was an affair in the church and there was someone who was actually for some time had been involved in leading worship but was actually living a life of immorality. And I remember how the church handled that and how that was so frowned upon because it was sin, and people mourned and were brokenhearted at the situation that was going on. You see, I remember there was some conflict sometimes from maybe a change in preacher here and there or some other issue in the church. You see, we learn that when we grow up in the church, the churches are not perfect either. Churches are not perfect. But churches are God's body here upon the earth. You see, we need to realize that the church is not perfect, but the church serves the perfect Savior. And one thing, that's what I was saying, what the church is all about. One thing I learned too about the church is, and then I'll move on to maturing in the church, is that church attendance is important. Now, I grew up at a church, country church, and a lot of country churches are still like this, where it's pretty much all family in some way. They're all related. And you're expected to be there at each service. And our attendance, even to this day, the church at Sanford will not see over a 10 or 15% change in its three services. That it stays right around 100 people at each service. And I saw the value of church attendance. And my parents are owed a great deal of gratitude and thankfulness for their emphasis on church attendance. Whether we were on vacation, when we were traveling somewhere, we had to make sure that we found some place on Sunday night or Wednesday night. And my dad, when he would always be busy in the field, he would always make sure he got in time for Bible study or worship. And to this day, and I want you to hear me on this. To this day, I still believe, as Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 teaches, that one of the greatest ways for us to grow our faith, for us to strengthen our own faith and make a difference for the church and for Christ, is by being committed to regular, faithful attendance. It will shape yourself. It will make a statement for your family that it's a priority for us, that this is our priority to serve God, to serve Christ, and be a part of His church. And it removes the question mark, are we going to go? And it takes it from being an option to being a responsibility. And so in some ways it makes it a habit, not a bad habit, but it makes it a part of who you are as a person, as a family. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that heritage, that heritage. And now I want to think about maturing or serving in the church. When I think about maturing or serving in the church, I think about growing up and as a teenager and as a going into college. And I was into basketball and I went to Freed Harmon and I enjoyed history. And so I wanted to be a coach and a teacher. And I liked to farm, so I thought I would farm some as well as do those activities. But while I was at Freed, I got involved in ministry and was able to do that course in life. And the thing I want to emphasize as I reflect about my life and as I think about the good things I did, and of course I'm not going to share all the bad things either. But whatever you put me, just as other young people I was around, the mistakes I made and the right decisions I made, the good and bad, were shaped by the environments that I was in. When I made wrong choices, when I did wrong things, it was often because, it was my fault, but it was because I was allowing others who were influencing me to have undue influence in my life, and I was making some wrong choices. But also, when I made good decisions, looking back at my life, when I made good decisions, often it was because I was allowing the good influences to impact me. And it wasn't just my own thought processes and my own desires. So the environment shaped you. And so as a teenager and as a high school student and as a freshman and sophomore in college, those environments shape you. And so Christian friends are going to be some of the greatest influences upon me. And as I think about those things, friends and mentors, I think about Proverbs 27, where the Bible would say in verse 17 that iron sharpens iron as a man sharpens a man. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says on that occasion, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. There was good and there were bad influences. And sometimes I was influenced by both. The environments that we put ourselves in will shape us. And so as well, I think about some of the mission trips and stretching your faith. And I'm grateful for Ryan providing a mission trip for our young people to go up on. I'm grateful for our El Salvador group that have gone in years past. And for what we do for missions in this church. Because mission trips are one, and summer youth camp, mission trips and summer youth camps are two of the most impactful things you can do to grow your faith. So mission trips are so powerful. And then I think about getting involved in church work. Paul told Timothy to not neglect the gift and not to despise his youth. It's important for us to be involved at a young age. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said, in verse number 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. For whoever speaks as one speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything or in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you. We say this in a lot of different ways, but let me encourage you not to always think someone else is going to do it. Not to always think, well, someone else can do a better job. Not to think, I can't do a very good job, or I don't even think I can do it. But let me encourage you to try. Whether it's teaching a Bible class, whether it's inviting a friend to worship, doing some evangelism, whether it's getting involved in hosting, as Joe was talking about, our Wednesday night meal and helping Tommy with that. And Get involved. Do something. Get involved in church work. It will grow your faith. It will impact your faith. It will help you get connected with the body of Christ. It will help you feel like you're putting your faith in action because you are. Church work will make a difference in your life. And it certainly has in mine. You see the picture there? I appreciate the brethren who own that building at the Rones Creek Church of Christ. In Yuma or Clarksburg, Tennessee, has a Yuma address, but it's closer to Clarksburg. And that those people helped me get into preaching. Because I know some of the sermons they had to sit through had to be really rough. But they did it. And they would come out the back door and they'd say, "That's a good job, I appreciate that." And they encouraged me when I was just starting out as a young preacher. And we need that, don't we? We need encouragement. We need people to encourage us. We need people to give us an opportunity. And when you hear our announcements or you see opportunities here, we want you to know that we want you to serve. We want you to get involved and do what you can for the cause of Christ. And so maturing and serving was so important in my life as we think about using our talents and our gifts from 1 Peter 4 that we read. And then as I think about my life as well, I think about marriage. Proverbs 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." I was just starting out in preaching when I met Amanda, and that is probably why the brethren at Rones Creek let me stay for 4 years. Because they saw what a blessing Amanda was and what she was to the church and how she was a blessing to me. And so when I think about my life, I'm thankful for marriage. Ephesians 5:22-33 talks about that and how it's a reflection of Christ in the church. And let me say, as I think about our lives and I think about the choices we make, and I think about my story, it is a common advice, but it's still so true, that whom you choose to marry, the person you choose to marry, is going to directly impact your faith. It's going to directly impact your faith. Amanda has helped me become a stronger Christian. She's encouraged me in my work for the church. She's helped me to be a stronger father and leader in the church. It's so important to think about who you choose to marry. And it's so important to continue to commit to working on your marriage, because our marriage certainly is not perfect and has had its struggles. But I'm so thankful for her and what she means to me. And then as I think about going on and maturing and serving in the church, I think about struggle and heartache. You know, when I was at Rones Creek, we dealt with struggles just like you did at Sanford. A wayward brother, a wayward sister, a divorce, a broken home, a young person getting in problems. And through my time here, we've experienced ups and downs, and we've had times of tears, funerals and loss, times of mourning, times of rejoicing at baptisms, but there's been heartache. In our lives, all of us experience that. If you look back over, no matter how many years you've lived, it may not be 40, it may be less, it may be more. The thing I want you to know about struggle and heartache, and is the thing I'm so thankful for, is that the church is there for you when those things happen. And that the church may be often sometimes a part of the struggle and heartache. Sometimes you see things in the church that hurt you. The church experiences times of problems, but don't give up on the church. Church is going to be there for you. The church is filled with imperfect people. The church is filled with the best people on the face of the earth as well. You see, continue to be faithful. And then in 2003, kind of grouping some of this together, we moved to Mayfield. And I want y'all to notice that Amanda, she still looks young, but notice how young I look there. Now, that was 13 years ago. And look what y'all did to us. I'm not sure if it was the the four kids or the church work that caused me to age, but one or the other. But we are thankful for our time here in Mayfield and all the things that I've been saying. Some of them I've been grouping in as well about struggle and heartache and growing through our time here. But a lot of joy and lots of change over those 12, almost 13 years, from the building projects to our children to highs and lows in ministries and weddings and births and divorces and funerals and in between. The thing I want to emphasize, though, once again, is that there needs to be a love for the church. In your life, don't think you can live your life separate from the church. I drove by several people on the way to work this morning, on the way to church. And people were not going to church. I think how empty their life must be to not feel necessary, not to be able to gather with brethren and worship the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Be careful and pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care or shepherd the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood," which He purchased with His own blood. The church is worth the blood of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "If I delay to come to you, that you might know how you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the pillar and buttress of the truth." It's the foundation of the truth. The church is the only group in this world that has the responsibility of giving out God's truth. We have the responsibility of holding up God's truth. We're the only institution that is called to call people to a knowledge of Jesus, to an accountability to God, to say, get right with your soul. See, the church is important. And we must love the church. Let me tell you something. In 40 years of observation, from the time I was young to the time I'm old, I want you to know, and there could be a lot of people that could testify just as much as I could on this, that if you love the church will love you. I hear, and I know you hear today a lot, of negative things. People saying that you don't need organized religion. People down in the church, and people specifically in our world today, want to cry out that churches of Christ are dying. The church of Christ is legalistic. The church of Christ is dying. The church of Christ is stuck in the old ages. The church of Christ is going to have to modernize and get instruments. They're going to have to get women preachers. They're going to have to allow these accepting roles and things like that. We're going to have to accept and say that homosexuality and all those things are okay. We're going to have to become modern or else we're dying. And that conservative churches of Christ are dying. Number one, that's a lie from the devil. And number two, I have no time for that type of argument of people who want to run down the Lord's church. The Lord died for His church. And the church is more important than me, it's more important than you, it's more important than any single individual. The church is going to be here, the Lord says so, the church is going to be here until the end of time. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. There's one thing you can count on, it's that the church is going to be here. It's going to be on this earth because it is God's blood-bought institution, organism, family of God that is where people are saved. It's going to be here. And our job is, are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to be people that love New Testament Christianity, that love the Lord, that care about the church? And care about propelling it forward into the future. You see, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And I'm grateful for all the blessings. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul lists, and he says, "I'm so thankful when I recall and remember. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for this church, for the Rones Creek Church, for the Sanford Church. I'm thankful for all the people and all the acts, for for you who have taken us in as family, who love me and my family, who forgive me when I fail, who bear with me with grace. I'm so thankful for your prayers. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for Christians all throughout the world. I'm thankful for the church. You see, we need to love the church. It is the bride of Christ. And so we need to love the church. And finally, I would say, in loving the ideals of the church, the restoration and New Testament Christianity, I love the church. In 1 Timothy, Paul says in chapter 1 about his own life. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, in verse 12, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent man, I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Whenever we reflect upon our life, whether we are 15, 30, or 40, 70 or 80, I think we would be amiss if we did not acknowledge the grace of our Lord. I know my time is up, but I got to tell you one quick story. One of my favorite memories preaching here. One Sunday night, I had preached on the story of Hosea and Gomer. Probably 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. Might have been even 2006, right after we moved here. But I preached on that, and we were having some kind of fellowship meal, I believe, back in the back. And Brother John Boyd came up to me with tears in his eyes. And he said, that story of Hosea and Gomer, and that story about God telling Hosea to go back and buy Gomer from the prostitute's block, from the, when she had gone into prostitute and been sold as a slave. And the grace and the love of God that it shows moved me and reminded me of the great grace of the Lord has had in my life. And there John was as an aged man, not too long from his own passing, more connected and more grateful for the grace of God than ever before. And I want you to know that as I age, I get more thankful for the grace and loving kindness and mercy of the Lord. You see, we need to be thankful and we need to share His grace with others. And so let us pray, let us say as Jesus said, and let us each make it our aim, whether we live another 40 years. Hilton said if you put both of us together, we'd be a little older than Moses. He's lived twice as much as I have, but he's been seeking to follow this as well as I have. So no matter how many years we live, let's make this our aim, to glorify God on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Let's make that our aim, to glorify the Lord while we're here, and let's do the work He gave us to do. If you're in need of the Lord's invitation this morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, then come as together we stand and sing.